Good afternoon. Get the headphones untangled from the underbeneath of the stool. The old underbeneath strikes again. Oh, my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and I'm not underbeneath. Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape has got everything you need when it comes to John Deere. Give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. And they're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. And if you need parts, service, anything, give them a call. They work on all brands. Or you can catch them on the web at PapeMachinery.com.
And if you want to call and just ask a bunch of annoying questions and see if you can fix your tractor over the phone, I hear you asked for some guy named Bill.
Yeah. And he's good for that until about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. After that, gets a little surly. The guy, I don't know what his problem is. But,
and we also want those test drives out back with the tractors.
That's right. And there is a big hole back there. So, you know, if you get out of line, we'll just push you in there.
Oh, my goodness. The fun never ends. So, let's see, what is today? Today is March 5th, 2023, because I'm sure we will replay this at some point in the future, because this goes into our pot tab. So at wethepeopleradio.us, there is a tab labeled pot, you know, like marijuana, but it's shorter, so it fits better. The old marijuana tab. So anyway, all the shows about that, links to helpful things, things that our guests have sent us, websites that are useful, and we're kind of all about the information on what's really going on with that industry, whether it's the cartels, the crime, the medical implications. And so while I'm saying that, I'm going to...
You have a medical...
I'm going to click on it here.
Oh. Okay,
I thought maybe you had it right now.
Medical implication.
No medical implication. Okay. But I was gonna spoiler alert a few shows that we're doing in the future. And Officer Joe is here with us today to decode some of this. Okay, so you fill in the blanks because you know the players for me. So the next person that we'll be talking to after we speak with Bart Bright today, and I'll introduce him in 5 seconds. So we're talking about that. Then we move to marijuana medicine or myth. We have Dr. Ken Finn. So he's the founder of the International Academy on the Science and Impact of Cannabis. Isaac.
That's correct. And Ken and I have presented to cannabis boards across the United States, and our listeners are going to get to hear one of the foremost experts on marijuana and addiction. He is a pain specialist in Colorado and an emergency room physician. And that website for the International Association has the best library, I think, in the United States for anyone that's interested in information on cannabis.
Nice. So
cool.
WeThePeopleRadio.us, you click on the pot tab, and that is on there for you.
Yep. Not just a talking head. He is an expert.
He is the guy. So yeah. We'll have a commercial-free archive we do for all of our shows. They're MP3 files. You can download them. You can burn them to CDs. You could sell them to raise money for your group. We don't care what you do with them. We do the show as a benefit for the public. So the week after that, we have Dr. Bertha Madras, and I have that titled Psychological Effects of Marijuana, and she is amazing.
And Dr. Madras will tell us all about the addiction complex, and she is doing some of the cutting-edge research in the United States, National Institutes of Health, National Drug Policy. She's been there and done it all, and I think she speaks at a level normally above us normal people.
Well, she's a professor of psychobiology at Harvard Medical School.
Yes, but she is...
Mic drop.
she is fascinating, and we will learn a lot from her.
That's great.
So, you know, we're endeavoring to bring you not opinion, you know, because our opinions... Well, you already know our opinions. we try not to make it about our opinions. We want to make it about facts so that you can do something with that. But one of the big issues that I think is definitely underreported and definitely underconsidered as our communities, you know, for the people who think, oh man, they're talking about pot again. I guess I should go through my little spiel on that. Yeah, because it's affecting all of us. If you live in a rural area, there's probably a cartel growing something near you or driving on your roadways, hauling it to a point near you. If you're a parent, you have a kid who may be involved in this, and you, and they don't have to be, a creepy stand on the corner drug dealer to be involved in this. I mean, it might be they go to a party and vape this or do some kind of dabbing or something like that and completely have, I mean, it has the ability to completely alter your mind.
Mental break. Yeah.
So you've got that. You've got the long-term use and the things of that. It's not just kids. It's grown-ups. It's kind of everywhere. And the thing is, so let's just say you don't know any kids. You don't have any grown-up friends. You don't live in a rural area. You live in a townhouse somewhere and you never have any contact with this whatsoever. Well, guess what? Your tax dollars are going to go to pay for all this.
And we know that when it comes to dispensaries, that we're spending now $4 for every dollar that a dispensary takes in hidden costs to the citizens. And that's youth addiction, lost employee, work productivity,
related crime, sure.
all of that. Now it's important for people here locally who are listening here in Shasta County, think about looking east today and looking at Mill Creek subdivision, which is up in the Round Mountain area. That's an entire subdivision that's been bulldozed and the trees have been cut down and marijuana grows up there. And for anybody that hasn't been up there, it's absolutely third world country. It was like my time in Haiti, where all the pollution and everything is dumped into the creek there, and all that creek flows down, all that pollution, all the chemicals from the marijuana production flow into that creek, flow into Cow Creek, flow into Bella Vista Water Districts, and it concerns Bella Vista enough that they're having us want to try to address that with them this year. And the sheriff has been doing eradication up there, and this year we're gonna spank that place hard and try to reduce the actual danger to the citizens right here in Shasta County.
Yeah, you have the environmental damage.
Oh, yeah.
Up north, I mean, they're killing and eating dogs on the big cartel grows up there. And so maybe, again, you don't figure that has anything to do with you.
Until your dog disappears.
Well, I would tell you to go to the art pot page, go and scroll down, and there are a lot of pictures. So you don't have to take our word for it. Just go look at the pictures. And I took a bunch of them. So I was there.
I just sent out the email on Smokey the Owl, who is dying because of eating rodents from the grows there.
Who are poisoned with rodenticides and all the rest of it.
And are killing Smokey
the Owl. Well, look at the school up there. Was it Grenada? Grenada School?
Yep.
With the little kid who, a 5-year-old, came in contact with fentanyl on a playground. It must have been on a playground equipment or something like that. So, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and this is what's bringing it. And deluding ourselves into thinking that this somehow has a benefit for our society. I'm really hoping we can educate you out of that. If that's kind of the way you're leaning, my guess is you haven't been doing a huge amount of research. So let's get Bart in here. Bart Bright, he was a camp counselor, a day camp director. Hey, I did those things. Hi, Bart. And a teacher for many years. He earned his bachelor's degree in recreation from San Francisco State and a teaching credential from Chapman University. He is retired back in 2019, and he lives in Northern California. He's the president of Maranon, and the website is MAR-ANON.com, and I had that linked on here. So, Maranon Family Groups, they're fellowships of those negatively affected by another person's marijuana use. So, for all you people who think it's not coming for you, potentially you do wind up touched by this. I hope you don't. I mean, I hope you don't. I hope you just tell a friend and it never intersects your life. So, Bart, I don't know where you would like to start, but it's all you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for having me, and I can't disagree with anything the two of you have said since the start of the radio show this morning or today. I have a story. It's a sad story. not only about myself, but about my son. So before, you know, people think the whole thing's going to be, you know, sad and tragic, I would like to, you know, kind of try to, you know, have some levity here, because one of the things I have learned from, you know, this Marinon program that I'm the president of is that, you know, instead of thinking all or nothing, it's good to try to, you know, take, you know, the good with the bad, and also a lot of times there's all this stuff in the middle that, you know, we'll miss if we're, you know, either thinking everything's all great or everything's all bad. So, on the you know, I guess more recreational side, because I have a degree in recreation and leisure studies, believe it or not. So when I was in college, I my roommates and I, we grew a pot plant in our closet, and we had a harvest party. And so, at the time,
for the closet pot plant,
with the closet pot plant, it was a big plant, and lots of you know, leaves on it, and quite a few buds, and all that stuff. And so we had this big harvest party in the apartment. And so this was in Crown Colony in Daly City. We were going to San Francisco State for our senior year. And so, the reason I want to bring this up is that, I thought it was harmless, and I thought it was just all fun and games. And back then, of course, this is the 1970s, you know, it averaged probably anywhere from 2 to 5%. Maybe if you've got the really, really good stuff, you're talking, you know, probably, you know, close to 5%. This stuff from our closet that we grew was probably closer to 2%. So, but we had a lot of it. So we had this party. And the Allman Brothers, we were playing a lot of music, and the Allman Brothers came on, and I said, okay, let's all turn off the lights, and but you know, everybody get a light switch. And let's have a light show while you know, music is going on. And so while we're this great music's going on, Allman Brothers, I forget the song, but anyway, the lights are going on and off, and it's just really fun, really cool, all these people, you know, stoned. And and we hear this, and I'm like, what's that all about? And so I go to where the sound is, and this girl, she's got the garbage disposal switch. She's so stoned that she thinks that she's turning on and off the light that she's looking at, and it has no correlation to the switch. And so, anyway, you know, that was probably the most fun I ever had, being stoned and all that. And I was the most popular person, of course, in the apartment complex after that. But, you know, so that was the fun and games part of it. And, and then I was also in a club that, we believed it was at San Francisco State University in the 1970s. And we, one of the things our club believed is that marijuana should be legal. So we got this guy named Dennis Perrone, who was big time in the pot, you know, business back then. In fact, he had what he called a pot supermarket at his house in San Francisco. And this is where, you know, you would get obviously put in jail back then for selling it. Not necessarily using it, but definitely for selling it. And we had him come and speak at the student union. We had about 100 people show up, and we were passing out free joints in front of the student union. And he was a real big proponent of medical marijuana. And so, again, at the time, I just thought, it was all fun and games, and it was all harmless. Well, fast forward, I get married, have kids, and my youngest son, he started using it when he was 15. And but once we found out he was using it, we talked to him about it, and it's a long story, but long story short, he would go to rehabs, and unfortunately, especially back then, even the rehabs would say, oh, no, you can't get addicted to pot, you know. And so so he said he felt kind of silly in the rehab, because people in the rehabs are like, I'm here for heroin or cocaine. You're just here for pot. You know, pot's nothing, you know. So anyway, he would actually get sober. He'd have times of sober, being sober, and then he would go back. And it was difficult, to say the least. And then he got to a point where he started having episodes of a thing called cannabis-induced psychosis. So it's THC-induced psychosis. And I thought he was having, I thought he had schizophrenia. But actually, it's in the DSM-5. It's a medical diagnosis. And he eventually, it's hard to say, of course, but he eventually took his life and died by suicide on August 14th, 2018. So that's kind of from the fun, happy, you know, crazy stuff to the devastating stuff.
Yeah, big difference. That's also an excellent illustration of the 70s till now. You know, that what has happened between there and here. And unfortunately, a lot of the people making decisions about whether or not we're going to have, you know, dispensaries or commercial growing or all that in our communities are people who are the age of all of us who were, growing up in the 70s. And and that's where their marijuana knowledge ends. The 2% THC. Well, it's harmless. Nobody ever got hooked on it. Never hurt anybody. It's better, you know. It's better for them than alcohol. And it's like, hot news.
Maybe the 2% is, but not the stuff today.
Yeah, hot news flash. Things have changed. We we've got to take a really quick break. We'll be back with our guest, Bart Bright. Easy for me to say. Got all ahead of myself there. And you can find us at WePeopleRadio.us. Love that song. Okay, play it again. No, I'm kidding. All right.
Play it four more times.
You got a question for Bart.
Hey, Bart, it's Officer Joe. First of all, did I make you paranoid in the 1970s when I had those red and blue lights? Just want to know. I mean, I had to ask. You know,
outside, that's true. You guys were on different teams back then.
Yeah, we were on different teams back then.
You were freaking me out, man.
If I was outside your party, would that have bothered you at all?
Well, yeah, it's interesting because it was in San Francisco, and in the 70s in San Francisco, again, I think, you know, I don't know if anyone got arrested for using, but I know, you know, I think some people got arrested. In fact, that guy, Dennis Perone, he got arrested quite a bit for selling.
Yeah, and you know what, Bart, we did not write tickets for marijuana possession. You had to fail the police test to get a ticket for marijuana. I mean, you really had to be a jerk to get a ticket for marijuana. But
exactly.
Somebody who was selling or transporting, yeah, we'd go after them. So I'm interested, Bart, because you have this huge personal tragedy in your life of your son, who committed suicide, and that unfortunately is a story that we hear all too often today from high potency THC dependency. How did you, in the 1970s, what was the process in your mind that brought you to sobriety? And when I think about that and I look at the first of the 12 steps of Maranon, where it says, we were admitted we were powerless over marijuana, that our lives had become unmanageable. Did you ever feel that, or did you just naturally, through age and becoming a parent, say, you know what, marijuana use isn't going to be in my life anymore? How did that work for you?
Oh, yeah, good question. That's a really long story, which we don't have time for, but in a nutshell...
We got 2 hours.
We got time.
Okay, so what happened was my wife, she was my girlfriend at the time, we moved in together in the marina in San Francisco in this little... junk place, junky place, which was fine. But anyway, we moved there, and then she thought it'd be good for our relationship, and she took off for 11 weeks by herself to Europe, to a backpacking trip to see if when she came back, we were ready to get married or whatever. So while she was gone, I definitely fell into a depression, by myself a lot, and I'm sure... In fact, I know the pot smoking made it worse. So I was lonely and all that, but with the pot smoking, the more pot I smoked, the more depressed I got. And so I remember having this bud from Humboldt, and it was expensive at the time. I didn't really have much money, but I was basically a pothead.
That's where my roommates were your suppliers.
Yeah, exactly. I was a pothead, and this was, Synthamine, this really good stuff. And I remember flushing it down the toilet. So I had hardly any money, and here I flushed this really, bud that was really, really very sought after with us potheads. I flushed it down the toilet. And so I obviously at that time I realized that it was making my depression worse. And overall, it was kind of like when I get high, I would take one step forward and feel better for a while. And then as I came down off the high, I'd feel worse. So it was like taking one step forward and two steps back. And I think that's why a lot of people think, it is medicine because it makes me feel better. Well, yeah, it can make you feel better at first. And again, if you don't have any kind of, addiction in your family tree, if you're not don't have an addictive personality, and you just do it here and there, that's one thing. But there's a lot of people who do get addicted to the THC, and even though they take one step forward and two steps back, it's like the next day, they might say, I'm not going to do this again. And the next day they do the same thing and thinking, at least I'm going to feel better. And then it's almost like they forget because they have that addictive personality and maybe that addiction in their past. So what happened was she came back from Europe. Again, we still smoked pot together sometimes and still smoked pot. But then I eventually actually transferred, instead of my drug of choice being pot, it transferred to alcohol. And then, again, many years later, I realized I was an alcoholic. Well, I think more than anything, I have an addictive personality, and I do have some addiction in my family tree. My oldest brother had a cousin who was an alcoholic and all that. So, you can really just take that that part of addiction, and you can put in, THC. You can take that out. You can put alcohol. You can take that out. You can put cocaine, whatever. But anyway, there's millions of people like me who are susceptible to addiction.
And about one in seven of our youth are at vastly higher rates of suicide when they use high potency THC. And about I think it's high as like 15% of the population, which already has psychological or psychiatric problems, that uses cannabis, that has vastly greater thoughts of suicide and vastly greater thoughts of self harm. So. That's yeah. The national statistics. Do you agree with those?
Oh, no question. So you probably have it handier than I do, but there's a with the Department of Health in Colorado. What they did is they took the blood of 15 to 19-year-olds after completed suicides. And this is relatively recent, a few years ago. And they found that 32% of the 15 to 19-year-olds that died by suicide, about 32% had THC in their blood. And the next drug down at, I think it was 11% in second place, I think was antidepressants or alcohol. But anyway, but the point is that by far the drug that they had in their system by far was THC.
And, you know, Bart, since we are talking about suicide, I do want to remind everybody today and in the public that if you have thoughts of harming yourself, or if you know someone that is struggling with drug addiction or psychological problems, remember, help is available, and they can always call the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, and that is a three-digit number now, 988. And you can dial that at 988lifeline.org, and that will get you help nationally. So, Bart, let's go into and let's talk about Marinon a little bit. And tell me, how did that, you know, this was a cathartic event for you, and, you know, your son has now died. You're probably, and you'll tell us, you're probably searching for, you know, meaning. And so how did Marinon come because of your son's suicide?
Oh, yeah, no question. So, when he died August 14th in 2018, I medicated, tried to make myself feel better by drinking. And I've never gotten a DUI, and in general, I think a lot of people, in fact, I know my friends would say, oh, you're not an alcoholic. Yeah, you drink too much at parties sometimes, but you're not an alcoholic. Well, if I wasn't before, again, then I definitely was, I never drank in the morning or anything, but once my son passed away, then I started sneaking the alcohol a lot more, and long story short, it got to a point where I was either going to drink myself to death or get my act together. And so I decided to get my act together, and I started going to Alcoholics Anonymous and working the 12 steps in Alcoholics Anonymous. And then I was doing a bunch of research on marijuana because I wanted to see what I could do to try to prevent this kind of thing from happening to other families. And I found this thing called Marinon on the website, on the internet. It was October of 2020. So I thought, oh, wow, that's great. Now, you got to remember, it's COVID time. So during COVID, there were no in-person meetings. So I emailed sent an email to somebody on that site. And little did I know, there was only one volunteer left keeping the site going. And I said, oh, where are your meetings? And she said, oh, well, we don't have any meetings. And so I emailed back. I said, can I start Zoom meeting? And she's like, yeah, that'd be great. So at that time, there was only like an email chain, I think about 100 people or so. That was October of 2020, and now we have over 1,200 members. We have 7 meetings a week, and so if you go to marinon.com, marinon.com, and look at under meetings, you'll find where our meetings are. So anyway, we started that, and it's incredible how many parents and also spouses get on that meeting for the first time, the Zoom meetings, and say, finally. You know, people who understand. You know, I go to my friends or my family members, my neighbors, and tell them, you know, my son's smoking too much pot, or my husband's using too much, and they laugh at me and they say, "Oh no, that's medicine. That's natural." So they really find a place where they get a lot of support.
And your son, do you mind if I say his name?
It's fine.
Okay, so your son Kevin, you said he was 15 when he started abusing marijuana. And if people want to read about Kevin's stories, they can go on MomStrong at momstrong.org.
And I have that all on page 2.
Oh, great. So Aaron's already got that up. So, Bart, then what happened? First of all, this is a pretty large organization. You have a pretty large group of people now, don't you? I mean, it's like 1,000.
Yeah, we're about about 1,250 now. We average about one or two new members a day.
And where are they from?
All over the country.
Oh, yeah. So this is a national website. They can go on and they can Zoom with you. And do you hear stories similar to...
The fact that one or two people, you know, that you have that steady of an influx of people who are being hit by this. That should speak volumes.
It's just the basics are the same. The details are different. So, like I say, over and over and over they get, and a lot of them are crying, saying, finally, you know, find people who understand. I have found a group of people who understand. And so it's basically for people who know Al-Anon, which Al-Anon is for loved ones of alcoholics, this is basically the marijuana version of Al-Anon. We use Al-Anon literature because, again, we're still so new. And we just, whenever we come up to the word alcohol, we just switch it and say marijuana.
Now, there is a spiritual aspect to your program. I don't read God, but I do. I do in your 12 steps. I do read that people want that one of the precepts is that you've had a spiritual awakening as a result of all the other steps, and you want to carry that message to your family and friends of marijuana addicts, and practice all the 12 steps of Marinon.
And right.
As you speak today too, Bart, I'll give them out so people can understand what you're talking about, if you'd like.
Oh well, can I give a few more minutes before commercial to kind of explain about the 12 steps?
Yeah, we got 30 seconds or so.
We can start with the 30 seconds.
I'll wait till we come back, just because.
Yeah, so it's all in the same.
Long story short, it's an incredible story. Dr. Bob and Bill W. started Alcoholics Anonymous in 1935, and it was the first 12-step program. And I'd like to give a quick summary of it after the...
God, I had no idea. 1935?
Yeah, 1935, and millions and millions, tens of millions of people have been helped by 12-step programs since 1935.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't even take the bet that you couldn't walk out the door and throw a rock and hit somebody who's been affected by, you know, or knows somebody who has been through the 12-step program. I mean, everybody knows what that means.
A really common statement that your son said to you that we have heard from other parents is, before they committed suicide, they go to the parents and they go, marijuana has ruined my life.
Yeah, he said his last articulate words to me were, cannabis has ruined my life.
But we better get more dispensaries so that we can improve our community.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's basically a replay of what happened with Big Tobacco, but even worse.
Yeah, and the science is doing the exact same thing, because now we're lying about how it's, you know, good for you and blah, 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 and has medical benefit, blah, 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 and doesn't cause cancer, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Exactly.
We're not learners, are we?
my brain is full.
Yeah. Societally, we are hardcore recidivists. We will be right back. Our guest is Bart Bright. He is with Marinon, actually. And you can find all his information at wethepeopleradio.us. That my college days were a musical, that would be the theme song.
You could switch that around to Hey Bud Tender.
Anne Hassel sings that song.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so back to the origins but it was Al-Anon.
Al-Anon, okay.
Back in Alcoholics Anonymous back in 1935. Who knew?
Yeah, so anyway, Dr. Bob and Bill W. were, again, raging alcoholics, and they eventually, again, it's a long story, but they started Alcoholics Anonymous in 1935, and it was just guys at the time, and I think they were either all married or almost all married, and so they're, you know, helping other alcoholics, and I think they got up to, who knows, you see, by 1951, and I'm sure they had thousands of members. And so the wives were around, you know, together sometimes, and then they started realizing, wait, you know, we need a program to support us also. Because, you know, we're living with these, you know, alcoholics. And so they started Al-Anon. And most people with Al-Anon and with Maranon, and there's all these other, you know, like Nar-Anon, which is loved ones of people who take narcotics. Anyway, but for the most part, most of the people are tend to be codependent. They have codependency. And so a lot of it is learning how not to be codependent and learning how not to enable the loved one who's addicted, or whether they're still using or not using. And even some of my people might be confused with that. It's like, wait, why do you need a program of support if they're not using? Well, most everybody uses or overuses because they're masking you know, some problems that they have, and they're trying to feel better. So if they just stop using the drug, whether it's alcohol or marijuana or any other drug, then and they don't try to work on themselves through going to a 12-step program like Alcoholics Anonymous or Marijuana Anonymous or some of those other 12-step programs, then the underlying issues that cause them to overuse in the first place they don't take care of it. They don't get healthier on a emotional and mental level. So what happens is it's a term called a dry drunk. And so, yeah, they're not using, but their behavior is the same and sometimes worse because they have resentments and they're all pissed off because they can't use, you know. And so that's why people who have addiction issues what I decided to do, and a lot of people decided to do it, again, tens of millions of people over since 1935, to either go to a 12-step program and get help and to work on your issues and all that, and to get healthier, or, you know, have a really good therapist or be in some kind of really good program to help you. And then I guess one of the other things I wanted to say is that you have Alcoholics Anonymous that started in 1935, and then Al-Anon started for the loved ones of alcoholics. And then down the road, Marijuana Anonymous started. So that was the marijuana version. And stay with me now. Marijuana version of Alcoholics Anonymous, because it's marijuana and not alcohol. And then eventually Maranon started, the loved ones of people who are using too much pot.
And so, Bart, is it similar to Alcoholics Anonymous, where I know you're doing this via Zoom, but everybody does tells their story and does a round robin?
Yeah. So you don't have to talk, and that's one thing I want to make clear to everybody. You could just go onto the meeting, you know, so go to our website, go to the meeting section, and you just go onto a meeting. You don't have to have your camera on. You can have your mic off. And don't have to say anything, just listen the whole time. And that way you can see, because, you know, a lot of people are showing their, you know, they have their camera on, but some people don't have it on. And so you can just listen and watch and see what it's all about. And one of the things we have is take what you like and leave the rest. So, you know, in a one-hour meeting, you're probably going to hear some stuff and have some aha moment and go, oh, yeah, I'm in a similar situation or I've had similar feelings. And then other things you may not relate to, and that's fine. So that's why we say take what you like and leave the rest.
Do you use professional medical personnel as facilitators or just trained personnel or people like you that have come up through the process of grieving and enlightenment? How does that work as far as who?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I'm not that enlightened. But anyway, but I would say that because of all, it's called learning the hard way, and reading a bunch of literature, going to a bunch of meetings. After you finish step 12, and actually part of step 12, a big part of it, is helping others. And so that's what we do, and that's why there's over 100 12-step programs. There's 12-step programs for people who have gambling addiction, shopping addiction, eating addictions, and there's, and it's because of that. So to answer your question, there's no professional that is in the meetings that is like a therapist. However, and that's why we don't tell anybody what they should do. We don't shit on people. We say what works for us. And so there's no crosstalk during the meeting, and so I just speak my truth, usually about 3 minutes, and up to 3 minutes if you want. You don't have to share if you don't want to, and I just speak my truth and talk about what's going on with me, and it is good to maybe think of one or two things that is helping. I like to say, like with me, I try to let people know about one or two things that is helping me. You know, like for me, I play tennis, I go to the gym and exercise, I try to eat healthy, I try to, do stuff that's fun, travel, et cetera, et cetera. And that helps me deal with my issues, especially my codependency issues. And that's what we do. And no one goes, you should try this, or you should try that, if you want to talk to people afterwards, you share your phone number, and you can talk to them afterwards, and then that's when you can say, well, this is what has worked for me, and you can kind of have it back and forth. But during the 12-step meeting, it's just a one-way. We call it no crosstalk.
So step two came to believe that a high power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a higher power. And step four.
Yeah, so if I could stop you right there, Joe, real quick.
Yep.
So the summary of the three steps for me, again, everybody's different, but for me, first step, I can't do it by myself. You know? The second step, a higher power can help me. It doesn't, some people call it God, some people call it the higher power. Some people call it the group, okay? And so step one, I can't do it by myself. This is like the shorthand or the summary of the first three steps for me. Number one, I can't do it by myself. Number two, my higher power can help me. Number three, I will let my higher power help me.
Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Now, that's tough to do.
I would imagine that's a little bit of a process.
Yeah, that's a process for people.
Yeah, and what happened with me is I was so focused on my son's use, and so I started going to Al-Anon, even though it was primarily pot, marijuana. I started going to Al-Anon because I didn't know about marijuana, and that was like almost 14 years ago. And then one day I was just sitting in the car waiting for an Al-Anon meeting, and it was a trip. I kind of was imagining seeing my son through the window of the car, right in the car, and then that window in my imagination turned into a mirror, and I saw myself, and I saw an image of myself, and I thought, okay, I need to start working on myself. It's just not all him.
Yeah, that's got to be a, I would imagine in that process, you circle back to that a bunch of times. I mean, that isn't like check the step and move on. It's more like, oh yeah, I forgot some things, go back.
Oh, no question. In fact, I've done the steps now 3 times, and I sponsor other people and help them. In fact, that's what you do. You get a sponsor in a program who's been in the program and done the steps to help you go through the steps. And another thing I really like, this was a few years ago, we go to the meetings to share our experience, strength, and hope, especially our strength and hope, and we use a sponsor to work through our issues, our problems.
What a great spot for somebody who decided to spend their adult life being a teacher. I mean, that it's kind of a sad reason to transition your teaching skills, but a really positive use of something that you were passionate about and that you were where your talent lies.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So, if anybody had told me when my kids were little, if I was going to be able to have a happy, successful life and have a fulfilled life if my son died by suicide, I would ask them, where are they smoking?
Yeah.
But actually, I do. And the reason is because I have a lot of people who understand me, support me, and love me, just like I love and understand and support them. And anyways, it's been basically a miracle in my life.
Oh, I'm sure. There's nothing worse than having something that... there's a lot of things that people have and they think they're the only one. They know they're not,
right.
But you feel like you're the only one. And it's kind of like the deep, dark, personal or family secret. And you just carry it around like a giant sack of horribleness on your back all day. It's gotta help with all of that. And then for the other people that are thinking they're alone, you're like, hey, surprise. This is more common than you think.
Right, and most everybody feels better when they help others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no matter what it is, helping someone across the street, or most people feel better, and that's what happens is makes us feel better when we're helping others, and also looking in the mirror and saying, okay, what do I need to work on, to take care of my side of the street. And one of the best things I like from Alcoholics Anonymous is you're as sick as your secrets.
Ooh, yeah, that's got to hit home. Well, surprised isn't really the right word, but
I've got the question.
I'm like, do they? Because I'm sure there are tons of people in there who have not lost their children.
Of course, most haven't.
Right,
and that's why I tell people I'll talk to Rotary groups and other groups about this stuff.
Hey, by the way, this is a possibility, and are people shocked by that?
Yeah, they're shocked by it, but I make sure that it kind of I think goes over their head because they probably are thinking the same thing I thought when I was at a PTA meeting, Parent Teachers Association meeting, when my kid was when Kevin was in elementary school, and one of the parents got up and said, "We have a drug problem in our small town," and I thought to myself, "No, we don't." And I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, "No, we don't." And I said, "And besides, even if we did, that will never happen to my kids." So I think when I give these talks, that there's people out there, and probably out there in your radio audience, that think, "No, it's never going to happen to my kids or my grandkids." And unfortunately, I was wrong.
That's a terrible, terrible realization. And it's nice that maybe you can pull somebody out before they have to learn about that in a personal way. We have to take a break for the news, but we'll be back with our guest, Bart Bright. And here's 1932, Cab Calloway. So right around the time Alcoholics Anonymous was getting started.
Watermelon pickle, then you know you're talking to that reaper man. Have you ever met one reaper man? You want to give you Pennsylvania, and you know you're talking to the Reaper Man.
Sweating him. Oh my gosh, she's not saying anything. What the heck? Welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. Today is March 5th, 2023, just in case we replay this at a later date. And I'm Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us today, Bill?
Well, we have our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They've got everything you need when it comes to John Deere. You need parts, you need service, they can fix you up. They've got a great inventory of equipment in the yard right now. So if you need a tractor or a mower or attachments,
and
whatever
they have
it might be.
Stores everywhere.
Yep, they do. In fact, they just picked up Renner equipment in Nevada, two locations. So
these guys are like, I don't know.
Well, they're going for world domination, I think. Yeah.
You know what I like about your store, Bill, is I can walk into your store and I can look and I can actually see you through glass. And I can go knock on your door and I can say, Bill, can I talk to you about a tractor?
There now, you go.
In my case, he'd probably kick me out.
You can talk to a human.
Go out to that hole and back and drive one first.
Okay? Yeah. Well, they've got it all up there, so go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or give them a call, 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at Pape Machinery. That's P-A-P-E Machinery.
.com.
Yeah,
Cameron and I are fired. We butted in on the commercial.
Yeah. Oh, hold it. Nothing runs like a John Deere. No, it's nothing runs like a deer, right?
Yeah.
I'll have to add a deduct to their bill this month. For all the horsing around.
We had a couple of Budinskis in the commercial.
Oh, I have a question for Bart.
I like doing it. So let's see. We should let people know that this show will be archived at wethepeopleradio.us this afternoon. Robert is homesick, so he will be doing that from sick bay. But thank you, Robert, and we hope you feel better soon. So he'll have that done for us, and we'll get that up on the site so you could send it to somebody else. And in the meantime, there's a page for the show here, March 5th, 2023. That has all the links to the places that we've been talking about, the Marinon and Mom's Strong and all those kinds of things. That is all on there for you.
You know what?
Back to the question.
Oh, well, first I want to highlight Bart's website. When you go on the Marinon website, there is some excellent follow-on information there and the things that Bart's been talking about, cannabis-induced psychosis. And we haven't talked about cannabinoid hypermesis syndrome yet, Bart. We will talk about that. What's CBD and detoxing from marijuana, which I think is super important so people can read about it. So,
give his site address.
Bart, give me your site address, please.
Oh, so let's see. I can give you my...
How about for Marinon?
Yeah, so Marinon. So it's Marinon, and this one, there's no hyphen, so it's maranon.group@gmail.com.
That's your email. So if
perfect.
People want to follow on, they can email you. Got it. So for Marinon, it's your typical maranon.com. And you can go into the resources and you can look for those posts. They have posters and flyers, and that's really great. So both you and Aaron touched on this slightly. One of the things that we always hear all the time, I don't care who I talk to, they'll say, well, it's just marijuana.
Yes.
So if I hear that anymore from people, I think I'm just going to Ralph on them. I'm going to have my own.
You're going to have your hypermesis.
I'm going to have my hypermesis.
Yeah.
But, Bart, do you get, if you have a family that comes in, will you get one parent that will be in denial and another parent will go and like, be dragging them along going like, hey, this is why we have to come. And you have to educate these parents because there's this stage of denial because they grew up in the 60s or 70s or 80s and marijuana wasn't a big deal back then. Does that happen?
Oh yeah. Yeah, big time. So denial, in general is a huge problem with, people who have issues with alcoholism or addiction, any kind of addiction. So many people don't think it's that big of a deal. Oh, I don't drink that much. So, you know, like with me, I never got a DUI. And so denial is a huge issue with people who have addiction issues and, of course, other, you know, kind of issues as far as, you know, mental health. And then it's also a big issue with people who are codependent. And so you can have, let's say, usually the, not always, but it is usually the mother or the wife, the spouse, or the girlfriend who comes to our meeting and we'll say, you know, my husband doesn't think it's as a good deal, or he just isn't at the point where he can come to terms. It's hard to face it, you know. You don't want to think of your son or your daughter, you know, as a drug addict, you know. And you don't want to think of them as having the problems with today's really strong high THC marijuana. And so denial is a huge issue. And one book I do want to plug, actually a couple books. One of them is called Codependent No More by Melody Beatty. And it's pretty much the Bible for people who have any kind of issues with enabling people or codependency. And the other book is by a world-renowned psychologist who works at Stanford University. And she has a bestseller, and it's really interesting. It's called Dopamine Nation. Dopamine Nation, and she talks actually a lot about her clients. So not only is she a professor and director of the department at Stanford University, but she also sees clients individually. And this is, you know, a very wealthy area, you know, the Silicon Valley area and all that. And the amount of times that she talks about cannabis in the book and how, quite a few of her patients are addicted to cannabis, you know, the THC, is really surprising. So Dopamine Nation, it's a New York Times bestseller by Anna Lemke, the MD, and it's called Finding Balance in the Age of Indulgence.
And that's spelled Lemke, L-E-M-B-K-E, and both that book and Codependent No More are available on Amazon. They're easy to find.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I've learned a lot from both those books. But to get back to your original question, the denial is a huge issue. And one of the ways I like to put it is that when someone comes in, again, let's just say they have a son or a daughter that's using way too much pot and has an issue with it, having problems with it, they might be in the same book, but they're on different chapters. So the father and the mother, you know. And so really the goal is to, you know, again, come to meetings, maybe see but if you do see a therapist, you want to make sure you see a therapist that doesn't go, oh, it's just pot. It's no big deal. It's natural. You can't get addicted to that. So
yeah.
That I would not go to that therapist.
No.
Because they're
opium.
They're back in the 1960s, like the world is flat or something. So anyway, yeah, whoever you see or whatever group you go to, I believe it's really important that they understand that today's a different. It's like a hard drug, and the THC levels are so high that it is addictive. And I'm not saying it's addictive for everybody, but for especially the developing brain, until they're about 25 years old or 26 years old, it can be highly addictive. Especially if you have an addictive personality.
And I did pick up from you, Bart, and I just want to reiterate that the only requirement for membership is that a person be affected by another person's marijuana addiction. So it can be a friend, and that I also see that you're a 501c3, that the meetings are at no cost. And I think what's important about that is that if you have a friend who you care for and love and you want to help them, they could come to a Marinon meeting and learn techniques and learn information that they could use then to help the person that they love. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And so our meetings are considered open, so anyone can come to the meeting just to check us out, to see what they're about. So anyway, they're open meetings. And I also want to plug Marijuana Anonymous. There are almost 500 meetings every week worldwide. Most of them are on Zoom, for Marijuana Anonymous, which is a 12-step program to try to stop your addiction to marijuana. And so anybody who says that it's not addictive, well, I don't think there'd be 500 meetings a week if it's not addictive.
Exactly.
So what you do on that is you go to Google, probably easiest to say Google, go to Google, and then it'd be Marijuana Anonymous, find a meeting. And they have a really great search engine to help you find a meeting. Also, let's just say you want an in-person meeting, and you know, we don't have an in-person meeting except for Newport Beach a couple times a month. And I know we'll have more and more as we get, you know, because we're getting farther and farther away from COVID. But if you want an in-person meeting and those work a lot better for you, then I would recommend going to Al-Anon. And if it's marijuana is the issue, just changing it like my wife and I did for years. Just change it in your head to marijuana every time you say alcohol. Or, again, you can go to an in-person Al-Anon meeting. If you have the issue yourself and you can't find an in-person marijuana anonymous meeting, you can go to Alcoholics Anonymous. A lot of people do that. And then again, just change it.
And Bart, I'm on your site looking. I'm looking at your site, and I see that there is something scheduled every single day on your site. Like tonight, you're doing a study of the 12 concepts. Tomorrow night, there's a meeting, and it looks like you have meetings. I mean, every day in the month, there's something going on.
Yeah, we have meeting 7 days a week.
Do you have no life? This is your life now? No, really.
Yeah, this is my life. I do travel to the grocery store for vacation. That's about it.
With your cell phone in front of your face so they can see you.
Yeah. No, that's actually one of the big issues that we talk about, again, from our own point of view, is self-care.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's really, I think it's really important to have a balanced life as much as possible. So, you know, like I said, my wife and I travel, I play tennis. Don't tell my tennis friends I started playing pickleball. It's a secret. But I started playing pickleball with my wife and, you know, can go to the gym, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really important, I think, to have a balanced life.
So for the people who, because I know them. I mean, you know, I know people who have a person in their life, whether it's a spouse. In my former life, it was a spouse. That it's like you just can't make any headway.
Right.
So it's not Bill. So, just so in case anyone was confused, I have a life
like
before Bill.
It's like they're speaking Chinese, and you know you're speaking English, and.
Well, we were in Humboldt County, and he had these 10-foot plants in the backyard, and I was raising his two kids, and I'm like, you do realize they're coming to take your kids, right? When you get caught.
Yep. No, the Nile is more than just a river in Egypt. You know?
Yeah.
We have a therapist, a family therapist that listens to this show on a regular basis, and I know because she writes me every time we do something on pot, and I've got to tell you, today my phone will be ringing off the hook as soon as I get home. She will be jumping up and down saying, thank you, Bart Bright, for you know, coming forward and talking about this really valuable subject.
Yeah, what's crazy is there's therapists, in fact, I spoke to a therapist about a year ago. And she goes, what are you doing these days? And she's a kind of old friend. And I said, I told her, and she's from Montana. She's an old hippie. And she said, oh, in Montana, we don't believe that. So I guess in Montana, the science is different. So I guess in Montana, you can't have any problems. But, you know, you can smoke or use as much pot as you want, and there's no problems. And I didn't want to argue with her, but I just thought, wow, she's a therapist. She has a PhD. So it's great to hear about the therapist you just talked about, Joe, because a lot of not anyway. There's a good amount of them still that think, "Oh no, it's no big deal."
Yeah, it continually amazes me how science is only science if it supports your point of view. You know, if
exactly.
It doesn't, then that's obviously flawed science.
Exactly,
it's crazy.
And there's even doctors and nurses that when you talk about cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, CHS, and for your audience, if they Google CHS, anyway, you'll find cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, who go, no, you can't get that from, you know, cannabis or marijuana.
And just for people who don't speak doctor talk, that's that's throwing up, that's when it causes you to throw up and you just don't stop throwing up.
Right.
Yeah. And, and there's no effective treatment. They're using some antipsychotic medications to treat it, and they put you in a warm, hot shower, and that apparently helps. But we've already had people start to die from that.
I was just going to ask you, how long does it go? You just throw up for? I've never actually asked.
Obviously
I was thinking you threw up a bunch of times in a row.
Right.
No.
You do. You do. But the stomach contents empty.
Right.
And then you're just retching at that point.
Right.
Does it go for like days?
No, it lasts for hours.
Oh my God!
It lasts for hours.
Well, that'd be enough.
So I thought, okay, so I went on to the Facebook group, and it's called. Unfortunately, I didn't get to spell it out again. Go to Google to figure out how to spell it. But it's cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome recovery group. It's a private Facebook group. They have over 20,000 members, and I thought I was smart. When I went on that website, Facebook group, and I said, "Oh, you know, you need to stay off the THC," you know, and the administrator emailed me back and said, "Actually, once you get CHS, you have to stop all cannabis products."
Oh, does it come? It comes back then if you use it again.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And we're going to get to see that.
Even CBD. You can't use any cannabis products once you get it.
Yep, and we have a video from Dr. Finn of one of his patients in the ER, obviously protecting patient privacy, but showing the patient vomiting for an extended period of time, and it's pretty scary, because when you're vomiting, what are you not doing? You're not breathing, right? So you're impinging your airway. You got vomitus in your airway, and some people aspirate and die from that.
So, yeah, and some people die from dehydration.
And dehydration as well. Sure.
So even CBD air quote it, but supposedly doesn't have THC in it or any of that. Even that'll set this off because it's from the cannabis plant.
Yeah, once you have this condition, I've heard that you have to stay away from all cannabis products.
Yep, and we'll confirm that with Dr. Madras and Dr. Finn.
But I was thinking
above my pay grade, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah. I was thinking about Dr. Reese, though. You know, his thing with the cancer, right? And we were asking him, "Oh, is it only the THC stuff?" And that's when he talked to us like we were morons and said, "If it comes from the cannabis plant, it causes cancer." So apparently, if it comes from the cannabis plant and you have the hypermesis, you'll have it some more. Wow!
Right, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, that is grisly.
If anybody's on Facebook, or people who are, if you go to that Facebook page, and, you know, for me, of course, I don't have it, and but I'm interested, so I'm, you know, a member. So, most of them do have, or have had CHS. But anyway, you can go, and the stories you read are just, the posts are just, oof.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I think there's different degrees to CHS. I signed to a Rotary group, and they go, "Wait, I think my neighbor's daughter has that because she keeps having problems with her stomach." So, you know, maybe they're not throwing up, and maybe they're having stomach problems, and they should definitely get it checked out by a doctor who knows about it. Instead of the doctor saying, "Oh, no, no, you can't get that."
Yeah, preferably not the one that wrote their marijuana card.
We have
to take a quick break here. We'll be back with our guest, Bart Bright. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Nice job, Bill.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, let me get to the point. Let's roll another joint and turn the radio loud. I'm too long to be proud, and you don't know. A lot of grass. Oh Lord, I popped a lot of pills. But I've never touched nothing that my spirit could kill. You know, I've seen a lot of people walking around with tombstones in their eyes.
just want you to know, Officer Joe has been bugging me to do that song forever.
Well, this is the reason why. I had a 1957 Panhead Harley Davidson that I used to ride every day to school.
And then Easy Rider came out, and you were like, oh, my gosh.
It had ape hangers on it. I used to get stopped by Connecticut State Police every single day. They'd take their nightstick, they'd shove it up the exhaust pipe, which I had hollowed out because it made more noise. And then I'd have to go and get a fix-it ticket. So then I'd put steel wool in the exhaust pipe, and that would be good for the next day. And then the next day, I'd take it out, and I'd get another ticket. And that went on for a whole year. And then I finally said, you know what? I think I need to become a policeman. Join them. So that's what I did.
It's interesting. You can play a little Steppenwolf from the Easy Rider movie and get a story about how a guy became a cop. You heard it here first.
Oh.
We are the purveyor of all that is odd.
So, Bart.
Back to Bart.
Bart, when it comes to activism, you know, for me, people say, well, why do you do it? And I say, there's a long story.
Because there's no choice not to.
Well, there's a long story, but I'm not going to give that story today. But the short story is that I care about our kids and I care about our community. And so I never knew that when I retired, all of a sudden I'd get involved in this thing called marijuana, and it would be 24/7. For me, and it does. It takes up my entire life. How about you? What, tell me about your life now and Marinon.
Yeah, so I would say I probably spend 20 to 30 hours a week. I'm retired, so that's what I do, unless we're taking a trip or something. So part of it is Marinon, and then part of it is doing research and volunteering for groups like Every Brain Matters.
Yes.
Every Brain Matters, Johnny's Ambassadors. Just got off the phone with Heidi Swan, A Night in Jail. And of course with you and Joe and other people. And so it's kind of like I've gone from pothead to pot ed, ED, education.
Pot ed.
And Bart, we're bringing Laura Stack from Johnny's Ambassadors here to Shasta County on May 2nd, and she's going to be speaking at several schools here at no charge to Shasta County, and that's going to be incredible when we have her here.
Wow, yeah, I look forward to maybe I'll try to go up there because, it took me a while to get the courage to read her book.
Yes.
But basically what happened to her son, Johnny, was very similar to what happened with my son. And after I read the book, it was really incredible. It's called Johnny Stack's Life and Death Story, The Dangerous Truth About Today's Marijuana by Laura Stack. And so he was 19. My son was 28. But the similarities are just incredible.
So Kevin was 28 years old, so that takes us over the 25 that everybody says, brain formulates till 25, but at 28, and we are seeing all this emerging research that shows even people in later in life, and we're getting a lot of people that are in their 60s now that are starting heavy cannabis use, that they are being affected as well.
Well, they don't know. They don't know that they're tapping into something. I mean, it would be like you thought you were trying some regular medication, and it turns out, right. Oh no, it's laced with whatever, crack or something that. Oh, just try this. You'll like it. And then you can't stop.
Well, plus I think a lot of the older people that are doing it are probably thinking, well, it's like when I
did that back in college.
Yeah, back in the 70s. Oh, yeah. And it's not that bad.
And it's good for me. It's going to be better for me than alcohol, and it's going to solve my, it's going to help with cancer and this, that, and the other, because they're all told that it's medical.
Yeah. I just don't think a lot of people realize the difference between today's pot and the pot that they grew, back in the day.
They
call that hippie weed, and you can't even sell it anymore. They don't want it.
No one will buy it.
Yeah, nobody will buy it.
Yeah.
Well, besides that, if you're going to do drugs, who does research before they do that, right?
Yeah. Right, the point. it's interesting because if you look at, if you compare big tobacco and cigarettes to basically big tobacco / big cannabis today, it's really incredible. So you think about years ago, let's just say 100 years ago, cigarettes didn't have that much nicotine in them compared to today. Okay. And so the cigarette companies, you know, figured out, hey, if we put more nicotine into the cigarettes, you know, gradually, more and more, then we'll get more people addicted to nicotine and we'll make more money. So that's what they did. They called it natural back then. They said it wasn't addictive.
Remember the doctors that used to smoke it? They'd put on their white lab coats and they'd come on the, and they'd be smoking their Marlboros or their Marlboro
Man. Well,
they
had commercials. Remember
they had commercials,
my doctor smokes on filtered Camels. It's like, right.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you're right. And they even had an asthma cigarette that they would prescribe.
What?
And, well, it was a status symbol. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, if you smoked, you were, you know, in the in crowd.
Well, for heaven's sakes, the marijuana is the same thing, and I'll leave the name off. But there's a local doctor here. We just found out that when marijuana became legal, he was going out and smoking it in his car, you know, lunch break.
Oh yeah.
Like, well, okay, so that's going to be a great idea.
Exactly. And so not only do you have all those other things that are same exact stuff happening with, you know, the cannabis and marijuana, is it started out with low THC, and they figured out, hey, if we get more and more THC in there, we get more and more customers, get more and more people addicted. It's considered cool. Cigarettes were considered cool back then. So it's the playbook is basically the exact same playbook. Altria, that owns Marlboro, and is one of the, if not the biggest tobacco company, has invested heavily in the cannabis business and vapes. And vapes are huge with young people especially. And so now it's basically big tobacco's doing the same thing as they did years ago.
Yeah. The lying, the addiction, the marketing.
Exactly.
And we found through our drug prevention coalition here that the same week that we outlawed flavored tobacco vapes, the following week all the dispensaries, and there's 280 here in Shasta County.
What?
I'm sorry, not dispensaries, all the vape shops. The vape shops were selling THC 890, all the Delta variants. So they're getting by with sneaking in under the law. If we could wave the magic flag tomorrow and make all of this legal and put it all down in the Central Valley, and all this would be, you know, organically grown, as we always hear, it's always organically grown. I think your job would just get exponentially worse. You'd have more addicted people out there. I think that we'd see we're about 30% of the population of America is going to use marijuana recreationally.
Really?
Yes, that's the numbers. About 30% will try it and use it recreationally. About maybe like 18% will use it regularly. Some those numbers. That was the last number I looked at.
Yeah, I think what would happen if that happened, and this guy is prevalent as alcohol. You know, anybody can sell it in any liquor store, etc. Then you get so much more harm. So you'd have so many more people going into Marijuana Anonymous, going to rehabs. Of course, the Marathon would get so many more members. And, you know, just it would get to the point like alcohol. It's like, okay, you know, Uncle Joe, he's an alcoholic, or, you know, so-and-so. And so it would just get worse and worse. And I think my main thing is education and all that, because, you know, even when before it was legal, you know, like I said, I was doing it. I know a lot of people were doing it. My son was doing it even before it was legal. And but one of the problems, too, of course, is that you can't buy alcohol if you're 18.
Right.
So
even with a special card.
If you're 18, it's unbelievable. So I just wanted to do that and check it out. And I got my medical marijuana card once it became legal that way in California. I think I went in there and the doctor, quote unquote doctor, she says, what's wrong? And I go, well, I have my back hurts, She goes, have you tried Tylenol? And I go, no. And I go, yeah, I have. And I go, it doesn't work that well. And she goes, okay. inside my, this is my marijuana card.
How much did it cost you? How much did it cost?
Oh, back then, I think it was like, $40 or something.
Okay.
But I've never heard of anyone, and I've done a little research here, I've never heard of one person getting denied a medical marijohna card.
doctors.
It does cure everything. That's why.
They made bank on
and
that
I've never,
thing.
I've never heard that about any other medicine, And any FDA-approved medicine, obviously the doctor says, okay, this is how long you take it, this is how much you take. Come back and let's check, see how you're doing. You never heard that from a doctor that gives a medical marijuana card the day someone turns 18.
Wow. Well, and so for the people who tell you that, it's better than alcohol, for the people who believe, actually, how about that? For the people who believe that this is a much better recreational drug to use other than alcohol, because alcohol is just so destructive. You've been impacted by both, personally and in your family. What would be, like, if you could soapbox that?
My response?
Yeah.
Yeah, my response is that everybody's different. There are people that I've heard of and I kind of even know of a little bit that you can do it a little bit here, a little bit there. Just like there are people who can drink a little bit here, a little bit there, okay? However, if someone uses, has an addictive personality or has addiction in their family, has schizophrenia in their family, and they may not even know because the schizophrenia could have happened 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you don't want to touch it. Just like you don't want to touch alcohol if you have alcoholics in your family. So it's all different for different people. And so that's what I would say is that sometimes it's not as dangerous. Sometimes it is more dangerous than alcohol. It just depends. It really just depends.
I wish that I could, Bart, get you to speak to one of our Board of Supervisors one-on-one, and he believes that we should advertise marijuana freely in our community, and that's Supervisor Chris Kellstrom, and he saved that tidbit until 2 days before the election, just so I think he could pick up some marijuana votes right there at the end. That was my opinion, and I've talked to him about it, and I can't get him to admit the harm there. So it'd be good to have somebody like you do a presentation to the Board of Supervisors.
Sure, I'd love to. Like I said, I can do presentations to other people in other groups. So yeah, I'd love to do that. It's easy, to say stuff like that. I used to say stuff like that when I was a lot younger, and that's what I thought. I believed. And just like a lot of people believed that cigarettes weren't addictive, a lot of people way back, as we know, believed the world was flat.
That's coming back again, too.
And they really believed it. I mean, they believed it big time, But that doesn't make it true, And just because you don't have anybody in your life that's addicted to THC doesn't mean it's not a real issue for a lot of people.
That's an excellent point. Just because it hasn't hit you yet doesn't mean it isn't a factor. We have to take a really quick break, and we're going to come back with our guest, Bart Bright. And you are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. So drag it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad medicine indeed. Little did they know when they wrote that song. It would be so appropriate later. So, Bart, what haven't we covered? Like, what do you think we people should know that they don't, and we haven't talked about it yet? Anything?
Okay, that's good. One of the things I have to correct is my son died in 2018, and anyway, he was actually 29 when he passed away.
29.
But anyway, so I think it happened to me. It happened to my family. It doesn't happen to this extreme, you know, very much compared to just having someone, you know, not thrive because they're, you know, smoking too much pot or vaping too much or eating too much. So just because you don't think, and it probably won't be as extreme as what's happened to have happened to my son. But to me, it's like, okay, if it happens to one out of six, well, let's just say it happens to one out of 100. Let's say 1% of the time. You know, it's just not worth it. You know, and
then, you know, and the other part that we kind of forgot, but we've interviewed him too, is Dr. Philip Drum, and his sister right. was killed by a driver who was high.
Exactly.
So and it might not be your relative that takes their own life, but somebody else's relative may take your person.
Exactly. Yeah. And how are you going to feel if you get high, whether it's medical? And that's another thing, is there's so much misinformation or misunderstanding about this you know, this subject, because someone goes, oh, no, it's medical, you know. Well, the THC is the same.
Okay? Exactly.
Whether it's medical THC or, you know, quote-unquote recreational THC, it's the same. Another thing, so you get into a car, you kill somebody, or you cause an accident, how are you going to feel? You know, even if you walk away with no injuries, how are you going to feel if you, you know, put someone in a wheelchair for life or kill somebody, you know? I know other people. I know Phil Drum, and I also know other people who've had loved ones killed by people who are high on, you know, THC on marijuana. So another issue is that people say, oh, you know, if it's bad because it's laced with other drugs or maybe fentanyl and all that. And I go, well, of course, you know, it's going to make it worse. But what if you drink, you know, 151 Everclear alcohol? You know, and let's just say that alcohol is organically grown, organically processed, and all that. It's still alcohol.
You know? Yeah.
So 75% alcohol.
I've checked that before.
Yeah. And so you say, oh, it's 75% THC and it's organic. Well, you know, that's, yeah. It's, and like I say, just because it's organic doesn't mean it's the same drug. It's THC.
Bart, we highlighted at the last Board of Supervisors meeting, we highlighted a Shasta High School girl, 15 years old, who was in a vehicle with her friend. They had been smoking marijuana, crashed and killed her. And Kathy and I went to visit her grave, and then we brought a picture of her without putting her name on it to the Board of Supervisors, and one of our Board of Supervisors became extremely upset and said that we were grandstanding by just showing that reality of death directly in our community, which it couldn't have been any. We weren't grandstanding. We were showing the reality of
right.
this drug in our community.
Exactly, and that's how I feel. Instead of my son's death being in vain, I'm trying to educate so that, you know, if there's other people like I was, again, thinking it was no big deal, it would never happen to my kids or my family, yeah, I'm trying to do the same thing. And that's what that's what we're all trying to do, it sounds like here. And, you know, the thing is, too, is that, okay, let's just say, you know, it's not that bad, and they're not going to have cannabis-induced psychosis or CHS or some other really terrible, you know, conditions, or get in a car and kill somebody or whatever. But what if they just are stoned a lot and they don't do much and they argue with you a lot and they don't get a job, or they're always asking for money, and they, you know, they're just living a pathetic life. Now, to me, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, or they waste their life away, right?
Right.
Maybe they don't kill anybody or themselves, but they've completely wasted their entire life.
Well, we had a friend.
Exactly.
We had a friend that I was talking to one time, and he didn't drink. And I asked him, I said, well, why don't you drink? And he said, well, he goes, I'll tell you, he goes, I can handle alcohol. He goes, I don't have a problem with it, but if you and I go out and drink, he goes, how do I know you don't have a problem? You know, I offer you a drink, and maybe you're trying to cut back, and something bad happens as a result of that. That's on me. He goes, so right. I just don't. And I think a lot of people have to kind of look at it that way, that, you know, you can offer somebody marijuana, you know, let them know, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Right. How do you know they're not going to, you know, turn into an addict and not, right. not ever quit?
Yeah, exactly. And the problem, too, is that, you know, this terminology, recreational, well, when I think of recreation, I think of healthy stuff like volleyball, basketball, tennis,
yeah.
you know, recreation. So to me, we don't call it recreational alcohol, you know. And so the terminology we need to, you know, I think change. And also the problem is that when the kids are young, they like to experiment with different things, and they start experimenting. They take something, let's say a gummy. They have a gummy that has THC, or they take a vape, you know, drag off a vape or whatever, and they wow, I feel better. I feel high. This is great. This is fun. You know, they get used. They can get used to that. Lots of young people get used to that, and then let's say they're out of you know, the vape. Oil, they're out of whatever the gummies, and some kid says, hey, you know, this is a Xanax, or this is a Percocet. They take it, and it's got fentanyl in it, and they die. Right. I know quite a few parents have lost kids to that. So the problem is they get into a habit of changing the way they feel in an unhealthy way and in a risky way, and then they get in the habit of just picking up almost anything.
Well, I think it... you know, early on in the debate, it was considered a gateway drug, and there was a lot of controversy about that.
Oh yeah,
you know, back in the day, it was, you know, 2%.
Back in the day, we made fun of our parents for saying that.
Yes,
by the way.
And it was right. a gateway drug.
Yeah.
But today's marijuana absolutely is a gateway drug. I mean, you're dealing with something that is so much more potent, and
right.
if kids take it and really like it, they're going to do it again and again.
Well, the other part is they've built, and it's always been there, right? I mean, the Grateful Dead made a fortune on the culture of marijuana.
Right.
So it's
exactly.
always had a culture, and it's always like been kind of like being in a club of some sort.
Oh, sure.
And
yeah, you're cool.
Yeah. So there is this culture, and that has come back full force. Like, I don't remember that really being such a big deal when my kids were growing up, like in the 80s and 90s, but that's back full blast. I was at the grocery store, and here's this woman with a baby on her hip wearing stretchy pants that really she had no business wearing. you know,
they're really stretchy.
Sack of doorknobs with it. Anyway, so, and it's got these giant black ones, and it's got these giant green marijuana leaves all the way down the sides, and I'm thinking, one day you're going to be somebody's grandma. What are you doing?
Exactly.
She's somebody's mom. I can imagine my mom running around at the grocery store with big marijuana leaves on her legs.
Exactly. And not only, if it's not a gateway drug, let's say to other drugs, different drugs, the weak, let's say gummy or the weaker vape or whatever is a gateway drug to the stronger marijuana.
Exactly.
Because you build up a tolerance. So... Yeah,
well, and that's the one that seems super innocuous, too, is the, right. oh, I take the gummies to sleep or whatever, and I'm like,
right.
you do realize, like, you can make that high-potency stuff with hemp and toluene, because I'm thinking, you know, if you go out by your water heater and you look at things that shouldn't be there and you put it in your mouth, probably probably not a great idea.
Yeah, and so you go
burn your house down, what the hell?
Exactly. Just like with alcohol. Alcoholics usually almost always when they're young start with, you know, whatever, a couple of beers, a couple of glasses of wine, and then they need more and more to get that same high. The same thing works with THC. So the less THC, you know, weaker THC is a gateway drug to the stronger stuff.
Right.
Bart, as we start winding toward the end of the show here, I'm going to ask you a personal question. You can share or choose not to. And by the way, I want to remind everybody that Marinon also is in Spanish. So I'm going to butcher my Spanish right now and say,
Sí, señor.
Marijuana.
Marijuana.
Es muy mal para su cabeza. I think that's marijuana is bad for your head, but I don't know. Somebody who speaks Spanish.
What'd you call me?
I thought you said beer.
I think loco is involved there. I think loco is one of the words you got to string in.
So I'd like to finish with the human interest of Bart Bright. And Bart, if you want to share, you may. And if you want to talk about something else, please do.
Or tell a story about Joe. That'd be fun. We'd like that.
Yeah, there you go.
How did this affect your life personally and your family and your marriage? Because you had a death of your son and all this pressure was put upon you. And we've got about maybe like 3 or 4 minutes to talk about that, if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, when that happened, when he took his life, and even before that, I was drinking more and more. I don't think I was a poster child alcoholic. I never drank in the morning. I never got a DUI and all that, but I drank more than I should have. And then when he took his life, I figured, okay, well, I'm just going to drink more and escape. And I don't want to feel the feelings that are associated with that tragic situation. And so if it wasn't, again, for these 12-step programs, starting with Al-Anon, you know, about 14 years ago, I'm sure my wife and I would be divorced and all that. But because of Al-Anon, we were pretty, it's not on the same page. We're usually on the same chapter in the book. And so we also had sponsors. We were working these steps. We were working on ourselves to try to become, healthier people. It's always going to be there. And of course, anybody who loses a loved one, especially a child, in any way, there's always that kind of almost like a hole in the heart, or just it's always there. But it's like, okay, what am I going to do with it? So the only thing I can think about doing with it is by not letting his death be in vain and trying to help others and be there for others. And my wife does it basically the same thing in the volunteer work that she does.
You and I are bound forever in our conviction to make the world a better place, and you're doing it every day. So I personally thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, it's this is one of those things that a lot of people would just, and I'm sure you meet them in your meetings, people who have maybe just withdrawn from the world, and they took such a hard hit that they just sort of bailed out. And,
that's what I did. And then I realized, okay, I'm either going to drink myself to death or I'm going to get my act together and see how I can help others. And by helping others, of course, you help yourself.
In the folks that you work with in your meetings, in your Maranon group, I guess I'm kind of curious. So you can never quantify it really, but do the bulk of people, are they dealing with a kid? Like a kid under 18 lives in their house? Well, I guess kids now live in people's houses until they're 40, but...
Right.
Okay, I might have to change that a little bit. But are we dealing with a kid, or are we dealing with like a spouse or a grown-up? And we're kind of in the last 10 seconds here, but just curious.
Yeah, sure. I'd say, number one, everybody's invited to come. They're open meetings, so you can always come and check us out. So the answer is, I'd say 60% are parents.
Okay.
And then probably 40% are either boyfriend.
Great. So anybody can fit in. Bart Bright's been our guest today. You are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Trying to make sense of a hopeless situation feels like dying.